Gamertag Radio is on Play.it.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/GamertagRadio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
All right, welcome to episode 689. This is your host, Danny, and joining me is Pete. Pete, what's up, man?
Round two. Let's do this.
Round two. So, Paris is not going to be joining us this week. He's on vacation. Enjoy, Paris. Great vacation with his wife and friends. So, shout out to him. Pete, we have a guest for this week's episode, right?
Yes, we do. From Epic Games, we have the creative director of Fortnite, Darren Sugg. Thank you for thanks for being on the show. Had some scheduling conflicts. I'm glad we could, you know, get over that and get you on the show. Been looking forward to talking to you for quite some time.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
Tell us a little bit about the game. We'll go from there, man.
All right, yeah. So Fortnite is Epic's action-building game where players harvest, scavenge, craft, and ultimately defend giant forts against hordes of monsters. And they get to do it in a big procedurally generated world, so then all the maps and gameplay is not the same twice. That's the marketing tagline anyway. Say, hey, get a bunch of loot, get your friends together, build forts and shoot monsters, and you're good to go.
You know, I'm just gonna go with the big question, man, because a lot of people probably have been asking this. So why charge the game now and then later for free? So for those that don't have the chance to buy, that they haven't bought this game yet, should they join now, check out the early access game, or wait until next?
You know, the thing is like, so my thing as a gamer is that there's been, you know, a bunch of games over the years, and through no fault of their own, they go from this process of like they're a paid game, and then some amount of time later they end up becoming free to play, right? And so one of the things we talked about earlier is like we've always really known that the destination for the game is to be a free to play. Like we've now designed it to be so, and so we just wanted to be very clear up front that hey, we will be a free to play game at some point in the future. But we kept getting all these people who were asking for codes and wanted to get into the game early while we were developing it. Before this point, we were running online tests and we kept sending out keys and bringing people in, and we kept getting more and more people than we could actually manage, like in terms of the interest level. So we were trying to figure out the fairest way to do it. And this way of running a paid early access lets people who really are dedicated and want to get involved with building the game with us through this community, the way to actually self-select into that. And then in the long run, you know, people who aren't ready, you know, I've said it in my dev blogs, I've said it in interviews, like, it's like, yeah, it's fine. You know, come back around when we eventually are free to play, and then people can join up then. It'll be fine. Like, we'll wait for them to play then too.
Yeah. I mean, the game is fun. I'm loving it. So go for it, Pete.
So for those that maybe aren't familiar with the concept of early access, what does that essentially mean for Fortnite?
So it means that we are going to be, you know, running more experiments on the kind of gameplay that exist in the game. There are stuff that we consider unfinished. You know, Epic has a super high bar for what awesome looks like. So, you know, I'll use the example of the UI, like our interface. You know, if 1.0 is our ultimate destination, like we consider the UI interface that we have right now, like 0.25. So there's quite a long way to go. So we're unafraid to sort of change those things, along the way with feedback from the players And aside from getting into the game, the thing that people kept asking for is like, hey, I love this game idea. I think it's awesome. I want to play it on a console. Can you do that? So we took the plunge and we're like, great, we're going to redo the interfaces and make it console friendly, get that console feeling good on the controller. So once we did that, we basically stood the whole thing up and said, okay, great. But now we're going to have to get more feedback from the users to really make it nice and tight. So that's our intent.
We have also questions from our listeners, from our viewers too. So I'm going to be picking questions throughout the interview too, man. So this is from King of Joust. He said, my question for Darren is, what kind of end game does he hope to have in the future?
Yeah. So I think the end game we'll start off with. I'll say we'll do some things for more power players. One of the things we are, let's say hypothetically, we made a new game mode where you and your team could survive a certain number of days. Mm-hmm. And what we would do is we would have leaderboard style events that players, that cooperative party, could try to see how far they can climb up the leaderboard and then cash out that stuff for prizes amongst the gaming community. We've got a couple other ideas, but that's all I can kind of say is like sort of the initial pass will be that. So really you can play really high end difficult content and then for cool cards and items and whatnot.
You know, one thing I do love that you guys added, like some additional quests for Twitch streamers and also for Twitch viewers. How you guys came up with this concept, and are we going to see more of that in the future too?
Yeah, so it was early on. Probably even a couple of years ago, we were trying to figure out like how do we support showing off the game and being able to, you know, give interactivity between the players and the hosts and the viewers. And so we actually talked to a bunch of people over the last couple of months, and we sort of got this idea, well, if a user, if a broadcaster can distribute quests to their players, and quests that have really meaningful rewards while they're playing, like that gives a level of interactivity. Not only does the broadcaster get some cool stuff to distribute, basically prizes for watching their streams, we also were able to make it so it's even more lucrative for players who are subs to those streams. So you can get cooler quest rewards for supporting that streamer. And mm-hmm. and it generally is just it's a nice way to build the community. And then cool stuff happens. Like if you complete for the Twitch quest we have right now, if you complete mm-hmm. them while that stream's going, like your name goes up on the screen while that happens. So that there can be a shout out from the broadcaster to the people for playing. And, you know, it signifies that people are supporting that streamer. And I think in the long run, we are definitely going to support more. Like we had ideas of like, imagine like filling up a bar of the amount of quests you have and then cashing out that bar for additional things for those viewers. But, you know, we're going to take it slow. The technology is fairly raw. Like that piece came in pretty hot. And so we just wanted to see where it lands and see if people like it. And then if so, we'll build more of it.
No, I totally dig it. I like the way that that you've got multiple forms of interactivity with the gaming, you know, with the gamer and then with the community. One of the things that has been a highlight of Fortnite in general from my opportunity to play the game in the early access period was the way the community rallies, you know, and just having an active community within Fortnite in and of itself. As a result, what has been the best thing you've seen from the Fortnite community so far?
Well, it actually is a little bit has to do with the streams because it's like I've popped in a bunch of streamers as they're running the game, and especially when it's like their first time. What I really like about the community is they're helping each other, showing off like, here's how you do this, here's how you do that. Like I really appreciate that the guys and gals who do this have taken the time to show that off, and people are really nice about it. And we've had some great YouTubers make videos, like I was talking about our interface before. There are rust bots in our interface, but these guys have made YouTube videos. So it's like, oh yeah, here's how you do that. And I really appreciate the fact that the community is super welcoming and wanting to, you know, help each other out through some of these pieces to make more content and more sort of dynamic tutorials for all the rest of the users. It's really neat. Like I really like it.
Here's another question. This is from Barnslow 101. Is it true that this game started 7 years ago? And if so, why did it take so long to release this game?
I don't it, officially it didn't start 7 years ago. I think it started 6 years ago. I always tell this story is that I saw the first trailer too, and I wasn't even at Epic when I saw that trailer, and I'm like, man, this game looks really cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, okay. I was like, this is a really cool idea. I love it. You know, I'm like, I totally would like to work on it. And then through that early process, I came on board probably about 5 years ago and showed up, and I was like, and they were like, yeah, we're going to make this work in UE4. And we're like, and that was just the beginning of the UE4 process. So the UE4 is the engine that Epic makes. And so what Fortnite became was sort of we describe as the tip of the spear. Like, this was going to be the game that we were going to make the Unreal 4 engine off of. And so as a result, you know, making a new engine edition, and we all that takes a bunch of time. And then on top of it, we also along the way decided it was going to be a big online game. Like, one of the things people are just realizing is, like, hey, we run all the servers, like, we host this stuff, it's not local. So, like, you go up and play on Epic servers. So making that infrastructure, making the way to download the game, the friends list, all that stuff, it just took a long time to make a big make that kind of feature set and bring Epic from making disc-based games, you know, solely to making truly online experiences. And so that just took a bunch of time, you know, to evolve to that point.
Well, my question is, you know, I'm a huge Nintendo Switch fan. Is it possible? Is it possible we're going to see this game for Nintendo Switch? Because there's probably a lot of Switch owners that are like, man, I wish we could have this game for our device too.
Listen, the thing I can't say one way or the other, but the thing I've said earlier is that, hey, if it's a great idea, and I think this one is definitely a solid one, and we can get enough people behind it, we'll add it to the list, and then we'll juggle the priorities like everything else. I mean, this is just another thing. Like, we really wanted to get everybody who wanted to play Fortnite playing Fortnite. So I imagine it would be possible for us to get out there. I just have no idea when. We're like, right now, because the community has been so awesome, we had so many people showing up, I'm like, oh, you know, we'll add another platform on top of it. I think we're going to let the Jell-O sort of stand on its own for a little bit, and then we'll see where we land.
So I got a quick question. I want to go back to the early days of Fortnite, and just a question I've always been curious with regards to game development. How has the game evolved from that early, you know, 5 year, 6 year ago period to what we're seeing now? Like, are we seeing the real original vision that was fleshed out by the team, or has that evolved, and how has that evolved?
So, yeah, I think the central idea of Fortnite, which is a group of guys getting together and building a fort and defending it against creatures at some kind of interval, whether it's night or when the storms blow in, has always remained constant. It's like the North Star of where we've gone. That interval has always worked, and everybody really loved it. I think the biggest thing that changed, like, if I were to pick one thing, is that probably 2 years ago, the game existed more by self-hosted. So, like, it was more like Minecraft then, where, like, somebody owned a game world. And so you would play the world for, like, 30 hours, right? And then I would show up and be like, hey, I want to play the game with you. And you're like, great, that's awesome. I join your game. You're 30 hours in. I have nothing, no resources, no advancement. And that was just a rough place to be overall for the players. And people were like, I hate losing my inventory. I don't want to restart in all these worlds, right? And that was the thing. Now, by the way, there's phenomenally successful games that work that way, but we were like, no, we're not going to do that. We're gonna bind all the stuff to the player. We're gonna host the worlds, and therefore players can bring all their advancement, all their stuff from world to world, and every time they play a game, their advancement is persistent to their character. So that was a massive jump. I'd say that, like, if you were to pick one thing that's to embody that, we were just like, nope, we're changing this whole thing. That was a giant leap that we took. So that was a big difference from the old days.
Okay. Let's talk about the voice acting in this game, man, because a lot of it reminds me of, like, Borderlands, like that type of style.
Yeah, well, you know, Ashley Burch is Rey, and she's Tiny Tina. So, like, in Borderlands, you're probably remembering, like, in the back of your mind, you're like, wait, why does this sound familiar? It's because Ashley, yeah. it was working on Borderlands. We have a little, you know, we have an irreverent sort of sense of humor. So there are some overlap between the two of them. But, you know, the thing is at the end of the day, it's about saving the world from monsters. And that's, you know, and so I think with a little bit of humor, it's not too dark. I think that's our thing. And I feel like Borderlands as well has that sort of like sense of, it doesn't get too dark. And I think those things are in common. There's a lot of great games that are very visceral and very dark, but we started at the beginning. We're like, nah, we're going to make something a bit more lighthearted. And this is where we ended up. And it was more like, hey, you know, what if you push, you know, the Avengers plus a little bit of Pixar and Tim Burton, and you swirl that all around, and then you kind of get Fortnite.
It was cool because I went like been playing for a couple times here, and I randomly joined the room, and man, I met some cool people playing Fortnite, and I think they were like level 12 or something like that. I was like still level 5, and man, they were helping me out. But we stayed in touch. And yeah, they said that they want to play again, man. Like, I love the community that I met so far in this game, man. They're very helpful too, man. And they'll give me tips, things that I didn't know about the game. So that was really awesome. Really awesome.
Yeah, I'm extraordinarily happy with, you know, the community. It's just been, it's been super cool. Everyone's been cool. You know, our game mechanics, one of the things people have been talking about is like, oh, the early game's super easy. And it's like, and if you're a pro, it definitely can be easy, because we designed the game that when other players are together, you are literally giving attribute bonuses to other players around you for joining. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but like your power level actually goes up in the top left when you join groups. And that's because like you're getting more powerful just by very virtue of other people being in your game world. So that's the reason why, is like we tried to develop some real low level cooperative games. So you're like, even if that guy isn't standing right next to you, he could be over on the other side of the map, like harvesting something, you're still more powerful by, because mm-hmm. that guy is in your game.
Wow, I hadn't even realized that.
The thing that I noticed, a lot of the people that we've been chatting online, they might say that maybe the enemies are a little bit too easy. It is because of that?
Generally, that's why. We're probably going to work on very explicit areas that are designed for groups, so then people can absolutely go and bash their head against really tough enemies for great loot. But the thing is initially we made the game like, hey, if you're a single player, you know, you can play through the game by yourself, because we have some amount of people that do that. And because of that, you're sensing the differences. Is like, yeah, when groups get together, they can really hammer the heck out of the creatures, and that makes a big difference. But as you get farther in the game, that gets harder and harder to do. But the early game is absolutely designed that way, because we wanted it to be like, hey, if you're a solo player and you're a little intimidated about learning things, we let you be successful that way. So yeah, but we're gonna give, there's some things we're gonna tweak in the game soon where you'll be able to opt into higher levels of difficulty early on.
Is that part of the reason why there's not as much tutorial in the game? kind of a force to kind of like forced to learn it like on the fly, like throw them in the fire.
That so if I were to ask my UX lab helping us make this game, and they've worked really hard with us over the years, that would say no, that's a terrible thing on my fault, meaning my, you know, the design side. It's just that basically because we changed so much of the menu system and some of those things, there are simply, we just haven't had enough time to do the tutorialization. Like, it's kind of this weird thing. Like people are like, wait a minute, you know, there's some aspects of the game that are super polished. And I'm like, no, really, like they're, from our definition, we're in early access, and some of this stuff we absolutely have to clean up for brand new users. And it's been an interesting debate over the years to, actually last couple of months, to be like, early access players, they're like, oh, I figured it out, it's fine, like you guys can go out and just make me some new features. And then we have other people who are like, I just started the game, I don't understand what's going on, you have to spend some time. So we're literally splitting our efforts on making that stuff better for new users and more welcoming, and at the same time we have to continue to create new content for the players who are already to that point. So it's an interesting mix. But yeah, it's not sort of deliberately that we throw you into the fire. Hopefully over a long enough time there'll be a nice gradual learning curve, like when somebody shows up in Fortnite a year from now and feels fairly comfortable if it's their first experience.
I mean, if there's people that would like to send like the feedback and stuff, like how do you guys are getting this, you know, based on this whole early access, are you getting this like through social media, through Twitch and YouTube? Like, where are you actually getting the feedback?
So the number one, like the number one thing, like if people are really passionate about this, is we actually have a feedback button in the top right hand corner menu of the game. In that thing is you just push the little feedback button. You can dump all your thoughts into that thing about things you'd like to see, other things we would like to update. That is actually the most direct way to give feedback. I mean, I am actually on a mail. Like, we store it in a different way as well, but this comes to an email that I can get access to myself. I've actually taken French comments and I put it into Google Translate and I read it, like, and then I'm like, man, this is a good idea, and then I send it directly to my team. Now I know eventually we're going to have a cooler process. They've got a way to do this now that's going to be cooler and more automated, but I mean, we ran the game very grassroots like that. Now I realize some people are like, I'm on the console, it's harder, etc. Then you can go to our forums and dump it in there. I mean, we look at everything, but really, like, if you're asking like what's the most efficient way, it's that feedback button. That's the fastest way, because it's just, there's no, it just shows up in the right thing, and it's really easy for me to be like, I'm just forwarding this directly to one of my designers, like, you should totally go do this right now, like which, by the way, the producers hate, but I'm doing it anyway because I'm like, I think this is important.
That's funny. Yeah, so I have a question here from one of the one of the people in the chat. What's the story? Speaking of content, what's the story behind llamas as your the loot box?
Yeah, so honestly, it was just a couple of, it was basically a couple of years ago, we had to do, actually it was probably, yeah, a couple of years ago, that where we were like trying to do the Outlander gadget, which is like, hey, we want to gather a bunch of loot inside the game world. And one of the artists was like, it'd be funny if it was like a pinata and we could like bash the pinata. And we're like, man, that's pretty funny. And then we took a step out and we're like, we started to make loot boxes. We actually made VendorTech boxes as a concept art. And we're like, man, these boxes, they seem boring. What if we went back and just like use the pinata and different shapes? And somebody was like, somebody just said, no, it should be llamas. And we're like, okay, sounds, you know, and they were awesome. When you saw, like, our artists are geniuses. They come up with such cool stuff. And they just had an idea. And then the QA guys really liked it. And there was a little bit of a controversy about whether it should be an alpaca or a llama. Like, we had a, like, I'm not kidding. It was like an actual conversation. It was actually pretty funny. So that's how llamas were born. They're just some really, really cool guys and gals made some choices about that and had some ideas. I just love the idea of pinatas, because then we can do any kind of pinata we want in the future. It may not necessarily always be llamas. You know, I was pitching like as the bonus, like the jaded game developer pinata and like the personality we could assign to that and have players like bash open the sort of game developer shaped pinata. I just think there's a lot of ideas we can do with that. You know, and the personalities for me are actually super important. Like, I don't know, a lot of people seems like they figured it out. Like, you know, you can double click on them if you're on PC, and if you're on the console, you can click on them and they say stuff even before you buy them. So they just make noise, and I think people like that.
Yeah. So you know, shout out to Western Digital. They've been supporting Gamertag Radio for a couple of months now, and just, you know, We're talking PC games. We're talking Fortnite, which is, you know, what I've been playing it on. And, you know, as a result, I've been playing Fortnite, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, all these other games. And I'm able to do it because my PC is blazing fast. And the reason it's blazing fast, aside from all the other stuff I have in there, is from the solid state drives that they sent over to us for us to use during this time period. So, you know, thank you very much to Western Digital for supporting Gamertag Radio. Essentially, with Western Digital, you're now able to get solid state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a Western Digital solid state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speed so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. It's actually what happens on mine. I've got a boot time of under 20 seconds, which is unheard of. Combined with a reliable Western Digital hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. That's how we have it, you know, set up on mine. And I believe Paris has his similar. The OS is on a solid state drive. Our games are installed on a separate solid state drive. So that way, you know, they're not competing for performance or IO And then, you know, we've got the hybrid solid state drives for mass storage, which is amazing. And it just makes life so much easier. And so for a limited time, only Gamertag Radio listeners and viewers can also take advantage of a discount of 20% off of any Western Digital solid state drive. It has to be Western Digital blue or black, 256 to 512 gig in size. And they can do so by using the coupon code WDGTR. Find out more at WD.com/GTR and use the coupon code WDGTR at checkout.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. Speaking of personality, one of my questions, and it's also one of the people in the chat as well, do you have a favorite character in the game so far?
Like a hero?
Yeah, like one of the favorite. Like, do you have a favorite hero? Like, it's like picking your favorite child. You don't want to do that, but I'm putting you on the spot.
Anecdote on all the places, but that's exactly what I tell everybody. It really is like literally word for word what you just said. Everyone asked me that. I'm like, it's like picking your favorite kid. Like, all of them have to be like interesting and cool. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the game. You know, when I ask people about that, I'm like, hey, like give me feedback if you think the certain hero specs aren't as good as they should be. You know, put it in the feedback and we'll make them better. So if like, so in theory, like I want to love them all equally because they're all cool. So yeah, I don't really have a specific one. I keep changing my mind even right now that we're actually live and we have persistent, like I'm like working through my own things and I'm still unsure about where I'm going to put all my energy into right now.
Now, was there any inspiration, like you guys came up with, like with this game, like was there any games from the past that you're like, man, you know what, I think we should get it from this idea, like from this game and so on while working on this game?
Yeah, I think at the very beginning it was, you know, as it evolved, at least after when I showed up on the project, it really was the like, we want to take, you know, Epic Games, known for making third person awesome gunplay of Gears of War, and then take that and marry that to crafting and building. Because even, you know, back then, you know, Minecraft existed in certain forms, and they were like, well, what if we marry this together? And it's like, but it could be done in combat. And it's like, okay, like I have a gunfight and I can build at the same time, that action piece. So I think the concept of building and having the harvesting was like, you know, there was a little bit from, and there's been builder games all throughout the time, but I think at that moment it was Minecraft or whatever. And then of course it was the action of previous Epic games that we wanted to marry together and create this experience. So I think those are the sort of the high level influences, but now there's so many that the way the hero collection works and all the other pieces, it's just like we're a giant collection game. You know, you go into the environment, you smash trees, you find loot chests, you collect stuff there, right? The heroes and schematics are all cards. It's like you collect those as well. So it really is there for collection games. So there's tons of, you know, over the years, like which, you know, cool collection games. So yeah, I would say like the genre is more what influences us more so than any specific game, I guess.
Okay, I have another question here from Driver C. Speaking of heroes, are any new heroes planned to be added? And if so, potentially how often?
I don't actually know. We've actually been talking about like what the intervals for heroes specifically are going to be. I think you're going to see heroes, you know, in the, you know, probably anywhere from the 2 to 4 month range, but I think they're going to be, you know, you'll see new cards along the way. So we may have some changes in specs or some changes in appearances for people to collect. But I think it's going to be a bit before we see a whole new class archetype. We actually already kind of know what the new archetypes will be, but we're holding off to make them. They actually take a considerable amount of time because every hero in our game is belongs to one of the core four families, and so adding another class archetype is just the tip of the iceberg, because then we have to make all the hero components around it. So I think that is going to take a bit longer, but hero cards I think you're going to see in the next couple of months.
Just curious, aside from potentially having new heroes added, I know that since the maps are procedurally generated. It kind of makes things easy, and game development is nowhere easy, but I guess in the grand scheme of things, what is Epic essentially going to do to keep the game fresh for people that are now in early access all the way to, you know, a year from now when it's a free-to-play model?
Yeah, so a couple of things. Like right off the bat, we're going to add new game modes like to the game, just either absolute enhancements of kind of the experiences that we have already, or completely new bonkers ideas to add to the game. So like we're kind of unafraid to try stuff at Epic. So I think you're going to see like pretty fresh new takes on it, and various amounts of difference from the missions you see today over time, without a doubt. And then of course we're going to be running events. Like we're an online game. It's hard to like communicate that sometimes. Like we're like a game where, like, you know, we're going to do holiday events. We've already run them last year during our online test. Like we're going to do Halloween. We're going to do Christmas. Like we're going to do summer events. Like we already have these big event packs planned, and they'll run for probably somewhere between 3 and 6 weeks. They'll introduce probably new gameplay modes or new variants on what they're doing, and then all new loot to go around with those kind of experiences and new rewards every month. And we're going to be, you know, right now we're running the Founders event. So all those additional card packs you get, that's just for people who bought into the game early. You know, they have more rewards than maybe we won't, you know, there's things we just won't offer next year. This is for those people that came in early, and we're going to be generating content for them, you know, at regular intervals. It's not something that we're going to put on a shelf. We're not going to do like a DLC model where, hey, you know, you're going to download this thing, you know, 4 months from now. It's like, no, we're going to have something for you by, you know, the end of this month and early next month to start chewing on. And then obviously we're going to keep making the game better everywhere as well. But yeah.
My last question is, you know, there's always been controversy with whole microtransactions and everything like that. So my question is to you is why the free model?
Yeah, no. The thing is that, the reason why we picked free to play is simply it is the most accessible model for everybody that wants to get involved in a game. It's just the free model just allows everybody to download something, play it. It's up to the game designers to figure out like how all of it works together, but it's easy for people to get in there. And I think it's a democratic one, a long enough line, because ultimately good games continue to be played, and the ones that don't, you know, they aren't successful. So, I think as a long enough line, I think that's why we chose that. And it's in line with our core philosophy. We went to the consoles because people said, hey, I want to play on these things. So we're like, okay, how do we do this? You know, we are a worldwide game. You know, we found out from Sony, Europe, I guess it's, and I can't quite remember the exact statistic, but I think it was like 2/3 of people in Europe don't even download their games still. Like they still use physical media. So like, we were like, okay, well, how do we reach them? That's why we printed discs. It was just easier to get. There's just people that do not download games, but our percentage of the people that do, it's like in the US, it's like, we want to be as inclusive as possible. So basically that's the reason why free to play. And it's up to us in the, you know, to make sure that people who participate in the Founders thing feel like they have value to being part of it, and they're listened to, and like, hey, it's fun, and there's enough of a game here to do that. But we're not hiding the fact that, yeah, we're eventually going to be a free to play game, and that's because we want as many people as possible to play the game.
Yeah, makes total sense, man. Total sense. Pete, that's my last question. Pete, anything else from you?
One last question, and it's off the wall, toilet bacon. Where did that come up from? What's the history behind toilet bacon?
Great question. So it's just, you know, there was a bunch of different loot drops in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, as we were building the treasure system, like in Fortnite, you can search everything, right? More or less. And if you notice, like a lot of the props in the world have like two stages of like they're looked, you know, unsearched or they're searched. So of course the artists were like, well, if we made the toilet open and shut, you know, kind of the idea of like, what are we going to do? And I actually don't even know in the long run if that version of the toilet exists even now in the modern game. but they were like, it's searchable. And so one of the designers had the idea of like, well, what am I going to get out of a toilet? And he just decided it was bacon because we had that kind of stuff in the game. It was a little bit like, I'm dispelling a rumor, which is like, it was a little bit, it was random, but underneath the hood, it wasn't actually random. He made a decision to make it that way because he thought it was funny, and it was funny. So
absolutely.
And so, yeah, it's just one of those things. And you can see some of our old art, like on the internet right now, right, where they have like our old models, but there's the bacon flying out of the toilet into that guy. And it's like, it's just one of this thing that's just like super, that people liked and super enduring. And there's just been a bunch of those, just like the llamas. Like, people really love the llamas too. We changed one of the voices of the mini llamas, and people are like, "Why did you do that? That's terrible." And I was like, "Okay, you know, that you're right. You know, we probably shouldn't have changed it." Like, there's just aspects that people really like. So yeah, that's where Toilet Baco came from. We thought it was funny, and it's lived in the game for probably 4+ years.
That's funny. Yeah. All right, Pete. I think that's about it from me, right? And for you too.
Yeah, I don't have any. I don't have any questions. I don't have any other questions. For people that are uninitiated, do not have access to it. Where can we go? Where can our listeners and viewers go to get more information? Where can they play the game?
Yeah, so you can check out Fortnite.com. Oh, that's, you'll grab all the sort of more detailed information about how you get involved. But we're on PC, we're on Xbox One, PS4, and Mac. So like we're trying to be as inclusive as possible. Who knows where else we'll go in the future? But that's where we are right now. But you can check out the website Fortnite.com, and if people are interested in taking the journey through the early access period with us and helping us make the game, give feedback and help us make a great game and be part of this really cool community, you know, come on board. And if people are like, no, I don't know if this is for me yet, well, you know, we'll see you next year when we're free to play. So yep, that's what I got to say. So thank you, everybody. And also I want to make sure everybody knows who's in our community right now. We've been super overwhelmed with the amount of support we've gotten. And the story you told at the beginning about how awesome the community has definitely been my experience as well. So I'm super happy and I'm glad everybody's a part of it. And I hope it grows in the same way.
Yeah. You know why I said that? Because it's super important to me. You know, when I play a game online, I want to be comfortable. You know, I don't want people to be so ahead of me, and then I feel so uncomfortable. Man, am I doing the wrong thing? No, they were like, no, come. I'll show you what to do. I'll tell you where to go. Here's some items. I already have them. You know, they were helping me a lot, so I felt really comfortable playing the game with them, you know? So that was really cool. I liked that a lot. Very cool. But Darren, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot for coming, and good luck with the game, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
No, yeah, thanks you. A lot.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Thanks for listening to episode 689 here at Gamertag Radio. Remember, guys, I'm not streaming on Friday, guys. I'm not streaming on Friday. I'm taking a little break. No Cafe con Danny. But we are going to be planning to record on Sunday, Pete. Mm-hmm. Sunday, I'm going to be at the hotel. We're going to make it happen live from Orlando and you from your house. We'll make it happen, yep. Right? Yeah, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. Make sure to share with your friends. Tell people about GTR. Help us out. And if you ever get the chance to review us on iTunes, go ahead. It will help us out big time. Also, you can find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. And by the way, a lot of people have been hitting me up how they could find Gamertag Radio on Xbox, because now Spotify is available on Xbox. I contacted Spotify. And as of right now, they don't have the podcast section for the Xbox. But if you have a PlayStation 4 and you download Spotify, you can listen to our podcast while you're playing any game from PlayStation. So as of right now, it's only from PlayStation, but not available for Xbox One yet. So that's all I have to say on that part. Also, you can watch us live, twitch.tv/GamertagRadio. You can watch us every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Anything else, Pete, from you?
No, that's it. Congratulations, by the way. Saw that post from you about the messengers, the pre-sale The pre-sale is up in the top 10, I want to say.
Top 14. We were like up there with like
top 14.
Lion King, bunch of the big movies. I was like, wow, that's cool.
That's pretty good. That's impressive.
That's only for pre-orders, top pre-orders, right. Bestsellers. All right. It changes every day, daily, every few hours it changes. But here's the thing, guys. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, if you haven't pre-ordered the movie, this is the only favor I'm asking from everybody that's watching this or listening to this podcast. Do me a huge favor. Please buy this. Pre-order it. It's only $5.99. And the reason why I'm saying this is because we're trying our best to debut on number one, because we're trying to get Amazon and Netflix attention. If we don't get enough support, it's going to be a lot harder for us to have the movie on Netflix or on Amazon. So if you can, it's only $5.99. I believe August 23rd is the official release date. After that, it's going to go to $9.99. So this is a great opportunity. At the same time, this is like a very inspirational movie, man. Like, hopefully this will help you to come up with an idea to be a content creator. It doesn't have to be a podcaster. It could be YouTuber, Twitch streamer, anything. You know, so yeah, please, if you can, go ahead and pre-order the movie. So thanks, Pete, for reminding me of that. Thanks a lot. And that's it. I think we're going to wrap it up here. What's up? Sorry, you were going to say
something? No, I was just saying it's a big accomplishment and you should be proud of something like that, right? It's something that you've put a lot of time, personal time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears into, and it's absolutely worth getting the accolades and the kudos for what you and, you know, from a promotional perspective, but from what, you know, Neil and Chris and everybody else over there has put towards this and pushing the envelope for podcasting. So, I mean, you deserve it. And, you know, this is, yeah, I see a lot of good things for this. So,
yeah, definitely. And there's been a lot of traveling. I've been traveling a lot and a lot of interviews, man, a lot of interviews. So, yeah, it was worth it. It was so worth it. Plus, hopefully this will help other people to discover us, man, because there's a lot of people that never even heard of Gamertag Radio. So by this movie being everywhere, man, in the future, I think it's going to help us big time, man, you know? So, but we need your support, guys. We need your support. And for those that already pre-ordered, thank you so much. It means a lot to me. Thank you so much. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. We're going to be back here on Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Like I said, I'm going to be live in Orlando because I'm going to check out this Call of Duty World League Championship. I think it's the finals. First time in Orlando, too. First time that they're there. And I'll see you Sunday, Pete.
Yep, I will be here. Right in the early bush tail.
Right, until next time. Until next time. Bye, peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.